buenos días a todos. Mi nombre es Giovanna Gutiérrez y gracias que nos acompañan para una sesión más de Parkside Presente. El día de hoy tenemos una entrevista que será de un formato un poco distinto. Por lo regular ofrecemos nuestras entrevistas en español, pero esta sesión será de manera bilingüe y estaremos conociendo un poquito más sobre el actor Fred Blanco, quien es uno de los actores que vino y participó en la Universidad de Wisconsin Parkside en nuestro programa de verano que ofrecimos para nuestros estudiantes de high school y que tuvo la oportunidad de presentar su obra de teatro, Las historias de César Chávez. Acompáñenos a escuchar esta entrevista.
Muchísimas gracias por que nos acompañes el día de hoy.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Entonces, tenemos un par de preguntas que queremos hacerte en cuanto a tu obra de teatro que tuviste su oportunidad de presentar para nuestros estudiantes y conocer un poquito más sobre tu carrera, tu trayectoria tal vez un poco y cuál ha sido la respuesta ante el público sobre tu obra. Entonces, Fred, ¿de qué parte nos estás visitando?
Los Angeles.
De Los Ángeles. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Great. And it's quite a distance. So that is, it's a bit of a distance. ¿Es la primera vez que visitas Wisconsin?
No, I think this is the third time that Peggy has brought me out.
¿La tercera vez? Yeah. Okay, perfecto. Entonces, ya van tres veces que tienes la oportunidad de poder visitarnos. Y esta obra de teatro, Historias de César Chávez, mm-hmm. ¿Cuántos años llevas tratando de presentar esta obra?
Oh, gosh, Gia, I think this is probably 16 years, I think.
Oh, 16 years, yeah. 16 yeah. años presentando esta obra. Okay, entonces es bastante tiempo. ¿Cómo ha evolucionado? How has this, like, evolved over those 16 years?
So the first time that I performed it at a little library in California, and it was about a 20-minute presentation, and it evolved in the sense that it was just me portraying César, and mm-hmm. it was more of a historical reenactment, mm-hmm. which is more of a presentational mm-hmm. style, so it was more almost like a lecture in a way, but mm-hmm. as César Chávez. But that's not really my background. I mean, my background is more theatrical. I studied theater for a while, and so I wanted something that would be much more compelling and more dynamic.
Claro. Mm-hmm.
So I created the different characters. So in the show, there are about 11 characters, including César Chávez. Mm-hmm. So the characters are all people, composites of people that César would have worked with or would have run into during his lifetime. So that's why the show is called The Stories of César Chávez, because mm-hmm. it's not just about César, it's about the people and about how everybody is connected. So, it evolved slowly, but once I figured out how I wanted to do it, it really took a life of its own. The characters okay. kind of dictate like where you go. Like once you develop one character, then you get an idea for another character, how that mm-hmm. ties in with that previous character. And so then it just kind of leads itself. So I worked on it very kind of rudimentarily. Like I didn't have any experience writing, at least not writing anything like that. So what I did was I would just create characters first. I'd go in my garage and I would kind of think of, okay, well, what do I want to say at this moment? And then I would record myself mm-hmm. and then I would look at it and decide what I wanted to keep. And then and just kept doing it that way. So it took about 2 years to develop it. To get it kind of where I wanted to go, where I was okay with presenting it. And then over the years, as I presented it, you know, it evolves. Mm-hmm. You learn from your mistakes and you learn from, you know, because the toughest thing as a writer is editing, mm-hmm. you know, because you're in love with all your words. Mm-hmm. So you don't want it to be too long, at least for a one-man show, because a one-man show can feel long sometimes. So you want everything to be condensed. So I try to keep it to an hour. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's a little more than that, an hour-ish. If I'm doing it for students, for younger students, the performance will be shorter to make sure that I include a Q&A.
Yeah.
The Q&A is really important.
Yeah.
So the Q&A is usually about 20 minutes to a half hour. If you're visiting a school, like a high school, they're in a time frame, so mm-hmm. everything has to be very concise.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing like on the college level, if I'm doing a college show and we're not in classroom, we're at a theater, we can do the full performance and then still have time for Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
So the show is designed to also be very flexible.
Very flexible,
so you
yeah.
can kind of move in and out. So since it's pretty much a series of monologues, mm-hmm. I can take those out and plug things in different places. So it's very modular. So I designed it that way because I knew that it would be a very commercial piece in that way.
Right.
You know, you want it to be marketable in that way. So it's evolved quite a bit, and I think I'm at a level right now where it's where I want it. But I'm also always very open to changes, you know, if I'm inspired by something.
But it
also comes a lot out of mistakes. Sometimes you have a happy accident
mm-hmm.
where something happens and you realize, oh, wow, that actually makes it better.
Yeah.
And so you keep it. So, you know, that's a big part of the process, too.
Sure thing. Yeah, flexibility is huge. And I think it, like you said, it also gives you an opportunity to kind of gauge your audience, right?
Right.
Because some of your students, some of our students, I mean, may process things differently, and that Q&A really helps be able to solidify some of that. And especially with your content, I think it's very emotionally driven. I think now more than ever, too, the impact that it may have on people can definitely set the tone for a room.
Right.
And so you mentioned your characters. Is there one that you feel that particularly speaks to you, or one that you just really love performing?
Yeah, you know, and it changes over the years. So mm-hmm. The very first character that I had developed was the Viejito character.
Mm-hmm.
And so that character was always very close to my heart because it was the first one. And then the character that I didn't get to do, that I didn't do yesterday, is the college radical character,
mm-hmm.
which I like to call the zealot.
Mm-hmm.
And that character is very impactful because what it is this character is disappointed
mm-hmm.
that Cesar Chavez is not who he thought he was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
He, in his mind, he thought that Cesar Chavez was a revolutionary that was more more physical,
mm-hmm.
you know, that
mm-hmm.
they would actually rise up physically and that they would change that way. And of course, Cesar Chavez, you know, was known for his nonviolence. And so in the play, there's another character that I play, which is a teamster,
mm-hmm.
a union member from the opposing union, and he's a racist character. And he comes and he threatens the people that are in the fields, and he's using a lot of profanity. And so he's very angry, and his anger spurns the other character's anger.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's a point in all of that, right? So that college zealot he has good intentions, but it's all misdirected.
Yeah.
So I think that that's a very powerful character. And I always leaned into that character because I was told by some factions that was a very dangerous character to include.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I thought it was very relevant.
Yeah.
And what happens in the play, in the story, is that is the motivation for Cesar Chavez to come in and to explain that there's always a choice.
Right.
That it doesn't have to be aggressive.
Right.
You can be militant mm-hmm. without being violent. So that was something that I thought. And it's also a very juicy piece, juicy character for an actor to portray because it's very dramatic and very intense.
Mm-hmm.
However, so the one that's the constant character that I think I always enjoy playing, and it has a special place, is La Viejita.
Oh, yeah, the old woman.
Yeah, the old woman, because the old woman is really meant to be the spirit of our mothers.
Mm-hmm.
The evolution of that character was I had the idea to pay tribute to Caesar's own mother.
Okay.
I thought about actually portraying his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, gosh, how am I going to do that? Like, how am I going to do that without seeming disrespectful or corny
mm-hmm.
or, you know... playing a woman in and of itself is a lot of fun, and it's comical to a certain extent, but you don't want it to be so comical that it's not taken serious.
Right.
In the way that not serious in that, you know, being highfalutin, but that it actually speaks to people. So then I thought, well, really what we want to do is pay tribute to his mother, but also pay tribute to all the women.
Mm-hmm.
And all the mothers out there who were really the soul of everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, and especially in the movement. A lot of the women in the movement, I mean, were right there in there just like the men.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Dolores Huerta, most people who are educated about it know of her, but a lot of people don't.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. that was also a way to pay tribute to her in a way, because this character talks briefly about her.
Yeah.
And we see that she's weathered, and we see that she's tired, and she still has a really good spirit, and she's
mm-hmm.
really upbeat. So that character is always one that I have a lot of fun playing, but it also means a lot because it makes me think of my mother, of course.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that probably is always a constant for me.
Have you ever met any of Cesar Chavez's family, his legacy?
So I spoke to Paul Chavez, his brother, mm-hmm. over the phone, and Paul was really kind and gave me some, you know, affirming words.
Yeah.
And very, very encouraging. And I met his grandson, who was very, very young at the time, and he was speaking at the same library where I did that show. And I don't even remember, I think it was Anthony. And then I met his brother, mm-hmm. Richard, which was, that was by accident, because I had an interview scheduled with Dolores, mm-hmm. and Richard had a very close relationship with her, and when I went out to meet Dolores at her nonprofit, her sister, who was her, I think it was her sister, who was her assistant, said, "I have a surprise for you,"
mm-hmm.
you know, and I said, "You know what?" And she led me to a room, and it was Richard Chavez.
Wow!
And so she had set up an interview with the both of them, you know.
That's
so
really neat.
Yeah, so I interviewed him, and I want to say that there were other people. Like I met Michael Ybarra, who was not a relation to him, but he was Caesar's personal bodyguard, and so he was like family.
Mm-hmm.
And so we met and we spoke and we had tacos together. We had his wife made lunch, and yeah, over the years, you know, what's great about doing a piece like this, or really doing any piece of theater, it's really about the human experience. Not only are you portraying the human experience, mm-hmm. but you're also encouraging a shared experience.
Right.
So, and not just the shared experience in the theater, mm-hmm. but also the shared experience of putting it together. And so that is really important. And that's why I think the Q&A is really important, because that's part of that experience. Mm-hmm. And usually the Q&As, I do Q&As for all the performances, not just the kids.
Okay.
But if the producers have time for it.
Yeah.
If the venue doesn't have time for it, then we don't have to do it. But I always encourage it. But with the kids, it's especially important, because it teaches them, not just about the facts, but about how important discourse is.
Right.
And how important, you know, coming together and how helpful and crucial the arts are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's all, I mean, there's a lot of things in there.
Certainly. You know? And that speaks a lot to even like our next question, which was like, why is it important for us to keep telling these stories or keep sharing, right, these experiences and these moments? And you hit it right in the nail, you know, it's part of what keeps us, you know, moving and all these emotions. And at the same time, it's preservation, right? Preserving a lot of this. And the fact that it's hard sometimes to trace back some of it. I think that's what's most challenging. And so a lot of times we rely on people like you that are sharing some of these stories and give you a different window into the lives of these people. So that's really great. Have you ever had an opportunity to capture some of your performances in a different aspect other than through theater?
So the show has been videotaped over the years, and I haven't, you know, I've chosen not to do a full-length commercial, mm-hmm. Commercialization of it yet, as far as video, to sell it or anything like that. I want to encourage people to see it live. However, they can go, somebody had videotaped it, now that I'm thinking of it, one time at a show with their camera phone, and I didn't know about it, and then they posted it.
Okay.
And the only reason why I didn't care for that was because the posting wasn't good quality, and I didn't want to, mm-hmm. I didn't want to present it in a way that wasn't going to do justice.
Sure.
Because, you know, theater is really particular. Even if it's a really good quality video, it still doesn't do justice to live.
Right.
But sometimes that's the only choice you have. So
right.
So that's okay. But so that version, someone, I think they posted the whole show.
Oh.
They taped it, and I didn't catch it when they were shooting it.
Right.
So I took it down. And you know, they also didn't have permission. And I think that they posted it because they were excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fine. But so what I have, there's a website, and we can kind of
put it up. Oh, excellent, yeah.
And people can go there, and there's a sizzle reel on there. There's like a bunch of different montage images of the videos from over the years. And there's also a short snippet of something called Chautauqua.
Okay.
Chautauqua is a lecture series that goes on throughout the United States.
Oh,
and it's,
okay.
It's got, I mean, that's a whole other story in and of itself, but that has a rich history in their performances, but their presentational style performances. So they're almost like, it's almost like a lecture, like you're watching a lecture. So there's a little bit of that on there as well. And you know, we're actually constructing the website right now. So we're planning on putting a little bit more video of the performance on there. But I never put on the, I never put up the whole thing.
Sure.
If someone has interest, they can always contact me. And if they want to see more, we can always, you know, talk about
Certainly. And that's definitely, we will make sure to include that in the description of this episode or any resources and references that you want to to share with us. We'd be happy to share that with you and with our audience, definitely. So thank you for that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much,
Fred.
We really enjoyed the show. We can't wait to be able to welcome you again and have more students be part of the experience. And yeah, so thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Looking forward to it.
Sounds good.